Exodus chapter 24 and verse 8. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, Behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. In the previous three chapters, Moses received various laws and commandments given to him by God on Mount Sinai. And most of these laws have to do with civil government, God's laws for the land of Israel. And in this chapter, chapter 24, Moses is ordered by God to take Aaron along with his two sons, Nadab and Abihu, and also 70 of the elders of Israel. We have that from verse 1 here. And they are to go up Mount Sinai. And at the end of verse 1, we are told that they are to worship afar off. In other words, they are to know their place when they come into the presence of God. Only Moses was permitted to come near, at the beginning of verse 2. And in that respect, Moses is an eminent type of Christ, of whom we read in Paul's letters to Timothy. There is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. And with that brief introduction, I want to consider three short points with you here this Sabbath afternoon. First of all, we've got the covenant bond. Secondly, we've got the book of the covenant. And thirdly, we've got the blood of the covenant. The covenant bond, the book of the covenant, and the blood of the covenant. And we'll consider these in that order. First of all, the covenant bond. Moses was instructed by God to write down all the laws and the commandments that were given to him upon the mount. And these were to be written in the book of the covenant, spoken of here at the beginning of verse 7. And the people were to give their assent to obey all of God's laws and commandments. Not only as they were written, but with respect to them declaring their covenant obedience to God. Now, this was to be visibly recognized in verse 4 on the following morning. And that visible recognition of the covenant made between God and his people was to be conducted by Moses himself. And so he becomes the one through whom God communicated with his people, and they with him. And as we said, Moses is a very eminent type of Christ, coming in between God and man, and communicating with both on behalf of the other. That's what Moses did here, and that's what the New Testament Moses, the Lord Jesus Christ, does with ourselves. And through Moses, God is going to ratify all that he has said and told Moses to write down. He's going to ratify that with blood. All that God has promised, all that God has commanded, Moses is going to give to the people of Israel, and it is going to be ratified or sealed with blood. Because ever since man sinned, there can be no fellowship for man with God. Only with a people who are covenanted to him by sacrifice. And we're going to conclude today with Psalm 50. Psalm 50. And that psalm speaks of the covenant of God and sinners being gathered unto him, and who are covenanted to him by sacrifice. They are covenanted to him by sacrifice. This particular people are his covenant people. And he was to be their covenant God. And so God says to Moses here, Moses, you go and you build this altar that I'm telling you to build, and build it under this particular hill. Notice that, midway through verse 4. Now that hill is Mount Sinai. Now you remember, in Exodus chapter 20, that there was a boundary placed around Mount Sinai, which the people of Israel were not to go beyond. And so this altar was to be built somewhere inside that boundary, where the people could not actually come close to it. It was next to the mound itself. And afterwards, there was also to be built 12 pillars. Notice that in verse 4. And these pillars are according or representative of the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, if these 12 pillars represent the 12 tribes of Israel, the altar must then represent the Lord himself. And Moses is employed by God at this time as the priest, because the priesthood was not yet given to Aaron. And we may suppose that the 70 elders whom Moses was commanded to take helped to offer these oxen as sacrifices to the Lord in verse 5. Now, notice what they're commanded to do here. They are commanded to put half of the blood of these sacrifices into basins. In verse 6. With Moses sprinkling half of the blood onto the altar. You remember, the altar is God's side of the covenant. And the other half of the blood onto the 12 pillars, or else onto the people that the 12 pillars represent. The 12 tribes of Israel. And once Moses read out all that was in the book of the covenant to them, all these laws and commandments, we read then in verse 7, all that the Lord hath said we will do and be obedient. So they're assenting to obey everything that the Lord has written. So that at this point there is the binding of themselves to the Lord, and the Lord to them, with the blood of the covenant spoken of in verse 8. They're assenting to their commitment to him, and their commitment to him is sealed with blood. Sealed with his blood. That's what this signifies. Remember the Covenanters. They were a group of godly men and women. And for almost 30 years, the monarch at the time sought to beat them into submission to them. But to show their commitment to King Jesus, many of them signed the National Covenant in 1638 with their blood. With their blood. And when a sinner becomes a believer in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that is what takes place. There is the use of the blood, and it's sprinkled upon the sinner. The children of Israel were his covenant people. And that was ratified on this occasion with blood. They were set apart by God to be his own. It wasn't just by obedience to a certain amount of rules and regulations that God had given them that they became his. Not at all. They were his long before that, even from eternity in the covenant of grace, made between the eternal Father and his eternally beloved Son, Jesus Christ. And that covenant was confirmed by blood. By blood. The blood of Christ, shed for the remission of the sins of many, when he offered himself upon the cross. And that is what sets this people apart to the Lord. Now, what is the church? What is the church? That's a good question. What is the church but a people set apart by the covenant blood of Jesus Christ. The church isn't a social club that one joins and leaves at their will when things aren't going their way. The church isn't just an outward organisation consisting of all our own friends. The church is made up of those who are bound to the Lord by the blood of the covenant and who profess God to be the only true God and His Son Jesus Christ to be the only Saviour of sinners. That's what the church is. That's what the church is. So, this people are bound to the Lord by the blood of the covenant. And their commitment is to Him. That's the first thing here. The covenant bond. But then secondly, I want to consider with you the book of the covenant. The book of the covenant. All the laws and the commandments that God had given to Moses up Mount Sinai, Moses wrote them in a book. Called the book of the covenant here in verse 7. And it was given to Israel to read and to obey. It was given to them to read and to obey. But the covenant made with Israel had a legal aspect to it. It was a mixed covenant, which included the ceremonial law also, as well as civil rules and regulations. Now you remember the ceremonial law with its many washings that the people had to have for the forgiveness of sins. And God gave them these laws because they were His covenant people. God gave them these laws not to make them a special people, but because they were a special people. So that through reading and obeying the book of the covenant, they might come to the conviction of their own sins. Now you have the book of the covenant in your possession today. And so do I. We have the complete canon of Scripture in our possession here today. And it is through the reading and the persistent and consistent reading of the Bible, the Scriptures of the Old and the New Testament, that the law becomes our schoolmaster to bring us or to lead us to Christ. Think of it. Not everyone has a Bible. Even in our own land today, not everyone has a Bible. The Bible comes into the possession of certain people that God means it to come into their possession. Many live and die without the Bible, and there's no salvation for them apart from Christ. For how can anyone believe on one that they do not know of? Paul brings that out for us in Romans chapter 10. How can they believe on Him of whom they have not heard? And so it's through the reading and the preaching of the Word of God that the sinner comes to saving faith in Jesus Christ. Through the reading and the preaching of the gospel. These are the means that God uses to bring sinners to faith in Jesus Christ, along with the work of the Holy Spirit. Some people talk about getting faith as if they've caught the cold. They don't know where they've got it. But the Lord always uses the means of His Word and Spirit in bringing people to faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, when the sinner is coming to Christ by faith, it is at that point, simultaneously, that the sprinkling of the blood takes place. It takes place simultaneously with the sinner coming to faith in Christ. And every time the sinner after that comes to Christ by faith, looking for the forgiveness of his or her sins, there is the sprinkling of the blood on that sinner's heart. And so that is why you and I have his word and others don't. So that we might come to faith. Remember, God has this people that are his from eternity in the covenant of grace. In the covenant of grace. And that is why they are given his word. And with his word, the Holy Spirit brings faith into their hearts and there is the sprinkling of the blood of the covenant. And they come to enjoy all the blessings of the covenant also. There are many people today who think that God's commandments stop people from enjoying themselves. Because then there are these restrictions and restraints that are on them. But his commandments become the very aim of his people. They want to keep them because they aim to please the Lord. There are certain people also known as antinomians. Anti means against, and nomi means law. Against the law. And they teach that once someone becomes a Christian, that they are then finished with the law all together. And sadly, the United Kingdom today has the same kind of belief that this land is finished with the law of God. But the Ten Commandments are binding on all men, requiring perfect and exact obedience which none of us can ever give. And so God calls us out of the book of the covenant to the great covenant maker himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all roads in the Bible lead to him. He is on every page of Scripture, and he is in every paragraph, on every page, all over the pages of the Old Testament, as well as the pages of the New. And none are ever so happy and ever so blessed as those who walk in step with him under the blood of the covenant. And none are ever so blessed as those who obey his word. And through that word, come to faith, saving faith in Jesus Christ. So there you have it. We've got this covenant bond. And we've got the book of the covenant. But thirdly here, and finally, we've got the blood of the covenant. The blood of the covenant in verse 8. Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant. Now this of course brings us to what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for sinners. He shed his blood. He gave his life's blood upon the cross. Perhaps you've heard the expression, the life is in the blood. The life is in the blood. If not, you'll find it repeated in Leviticus chapter 17. Now, notice the animals here that are sacrificed. These are oxen. And the life of these oxen was in the blood of the animal. Once the blood was drained off it, it was dead. You remember Noah after the flood, when God commanded him that all the animals were then suitable for him and for his service, and also suitable to be eaten, but the blood had to be drained off the animal. The blood had to be completely drained off before the animal could be eaten. The life of the animal was in the blood. Now, crucifixion wasn't always done by being nailed to a cross. Many people were crucified who were simply tied to a cross. Their hands and their feet tied to a cross. And with respect to the Lord Jesus Christ, he was nailed to the cross. Through his hands, through his feet, and a spear was also driven into his side, you remember, by the soldier who intended making sure that the Saviour was dead. But out of his broken body, every drop of blood in his body was shed. Now the life of the animal was in the blood, and the life of the Saviour is in the blood. And when he died, he died the death that sin deserved. This was the only way sin could be atoned for. The only way sin could be atoned for. And again, remember, at the last Passover before his own death, where he instituted the Lord's Supper, remember what he said to them on that occasion. This is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. The blood of the covenant. The cup of the New Testament is the same as saying the cup of the New Covenant. It is the blood of the covenant. And that is what Moses is speaking of here in verse 8. When he says to the people to behold, to look to the blood of the covenant. To look to the blood of the covenant. And Moses tells us here to behold the blood of the covenant. Because ever since sin entered the world, it has brought nothing but death. But now there is life in looking and beholding the blood. There is life in the blood. The blood was shed, every drop of it, so that he died. But out of that death comes life through the blood to those who were dead in their trespasses and sins. For without the shedding of blood, the writer to the Hebrews tells us, there is no remission of sins. And so we are being invited to life by looking to Christ and the blood that was shed for the remission of the sins of many. That is what we have been invited to do. Just as Moses invited the children of Israel here to do. Just as they were given the book of the covenant. Now, in reading it, they find that there is also the blood of the covenant. And in reading the book of the covenant, they come to see their need of the blood of the covenant. The one whose body was broken and whose blood was shed for the remission of the sins of many. And therefore, this behold here has in it the look of faith to Christ as the one who saves and who gives life to the dead. So therefore, my friends, this is what we are being exhorted to do here. To look to him who died in order to save. Amen. May he bless his word. Let us pray.